Psalm 91:15. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and glorify him. Psalm 91:15. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and glorify him. Psalm 91:15. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our service. All of us are aware of the fact that we are here today to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. You and I are blessed individuals indeed. We have the completed canon of Scripture, God's wonderful Word. We're living in the church age between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture of the body of Christ on the other hand. A magnificent and wonderful time to be alive. The greatest thing that can happen to you and me as a believer in Jesus Christ is to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and perceptive to His wonderful Word. In God's providence, He's given us a system which we call here in our church the Grace System of Comprehension. That simply means that when we come together, we spend a few moments in prayer to be sure that we are cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are in a position to properly receive and properly metabolize the wonderful Word of God. What a tremendous blessing that is. God has blessed me, as all of you know, in a wonderful, magnificent way. I would not even begin today to try to enumerate the blessings, but I will tell you that one of the great blessings is for me to be the pastor of this church for all these many, many years. Another great blessing is for me to have a companion, 65 years, blessed so magnificently and tremendously. How wonderful it is to be able to stand here and communicate God's Word. Martin was very brief today in referring to the back page of the bulletin. I need to tell you that there are some outstanding things on the back page of the bulletin. Please now, don't be reading this and studying it while I'm preaching. But if you will, when the service is over, I would encourage you to take some time to give attention to the information that is there. As you know, the Lord has given us some young ministers. And I appreciate these young ministers. You never know what they're going to say or do, but they're all doing a good job. Last Wednesday night, I asked the young man speaking if he would make the announcements of the fact that we're going to back away from the book of Ephesians for a little while and deal with some magnificent subjects. And I gave him a list of the subjects. I was sitting here at the front, and he came to me and said, "Now, what does this mean?" And he came back. In a little while, I was still sitting there, and he came back again. He said, "Would you tell me again what MOL stands for?" And I told him, and he said, "I'm going to go up and write this down so I can say it properly." I just gave him a list. It's on the back of the page here. We're going to deal with the subjects of the rapture, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, MOL, marriage of the Lamb. He wasn't sure what that meant. The judgment seat of Christ, the second advent, the millennium, the Gog and Magog revolution, and eternity. In a few moments after our prayer, I'm going to ask you to go with me on a little journey. Some of you have traveled with me over these years on that journey, but we're going to travel there by means of the verse that's on the screen, 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Before we do that, let's pray together, please. Father, we appreciate so much, again, the opportunity to be here, to focus our minds upon the eternal truths of your word. We realize that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently and be saturated with the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ by properly receiving and properly utilizing the Word of God. We pray that you will bless us in these moments today. And we thank you for the opportunity to give attention to these wonderful truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 is now on the screen for you. "For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, so also the ones having slept through Jesus, God will bring with him." The little journey that I want you to take with me is a journey that some of you have taken over the years. I want you to journey with me as we leave the funeral home of having just completed a memorial service for someone whom we all love dearly. To some of you, that has happened in recent days. To some of you, it happened years ago. All of us, perhaps at one time or the other, have had that experience to take place in our lives. I want you to get a mental picture of the preacher. I've just completed the message at the memorial service. I've just gotten into the vehicle with the funeral director, and we're riding out to the cemetery. This has happened to me many, many times over these past 70 years. As I ride along, I'm aware of the fact that I've just been with people who have experienced something that is startling, something that has brought tears to their eyes, something that has brought an emptiness. And they've been reminded by me that there's an emptiness in our hearts, there's an emptiness in our homes, an emptiness in our lives, but God has promised to fill that emptiness with His presence, with His power, with His Word, with His love. As I ride along with Bible in my lap, I'm aware of the fact that in just a few moments we'll be arriving at the cemetery, and has been my promise, God's Word is always that which brings comfort to individuals' lives. It really doesn't matter much what I say, but it does matter what people hear from God's Word. And so I'm riding along, having done this many, many times over the years, with Bible in my lap, and I'm flipping the pages to turn to the passage of Scripture, which I will read in just a few moments. I'm here to tell you this morning that this is not always easy for me. I cry many times when you cry at memorial services. But I also want you to know that when those tears are wiped away and I give serious thought to God's plan and God's Word, there is peace, joy, and comfort in my heart, and I know in the hearts of those individuals who are there that particular day. I normally open the Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and begin not with verse 14, but with verse 13. And I read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, unknowing, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And I always enjoy reading verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." On the screen you see 1 Thessalonians 4:14, which says, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also the ones having slept through Jesus, God will bring with him." What I'm seeing here today is something that I want you to see. And that is, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, make up what is known as the body of Christ. And all of us are aware of the fact that we're living between the time of Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand. That's a period of time known as the church age. This is not new to you. To some of you, you've heard it for years from this pulpit. We've looked at the picture of the timeline. I'm not reiterating this today, only to let you see something. On this diagram, you're seeing the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, a period of time known as the tribulation, an emphasis upon the rapture, the second advent, the millennium, and the eternal future. When you take a look at this diagram, it's a picture of a timeline. We call this the biblical timeline. And here we're emphasizing only four major events. We're emphasizing the rapture, we're emphasizing the second advent, we're emphasizing the millennium, we're emphasizing eternity. All of us are aware of the fact that we're breathing right now. The heart is ticking. We're breathing. Some of us are breathing better than others, perhaps. But we're thankful for the opportunity to breathe. The heart is ticking. We're breathing. We're only one heartbeat from eternity. We're only one breath from eternity. Upon the point of time when we breathe our last breath, we're going to be, the scripture says, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. We're aware of the fact that there's going to come a time when the rapture will occur. And when the rapture occurs, the church, the body of Christ, goes to heaven. I've tried to decide how to do this so that it would be challenging and some new to the people who have heard, but also a revelation to the individuals who have not walked this pathway in study. The word rapture, for instance, is not found in the Bible. But it's taken from a Latin verb which means to be seized or to be caught up. Beautiful word. Let's spend a few seconds to think about that. The word rapture is taken from a Latin verb which means to be seized or to be caught up. Promised by our Lord just before his crucifixion. In John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Many times when you attend a memorial service, the preacher will quote these verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1, 2, and 3. The word rapture refers to the end of the church age. Believers dead and alive we be taken to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We're presently in what is known as the dispensation of the church, and we do not know when that dispensation will end. Sometimes words scare people. For instance, If I use the word dispensation, sometimes people are frightened by that word, dispensation. I don't want anyone here to be frightened by the word dispensation. We're today living in a period of time, the dispensation of the church. And we do not know just exactly when that age will end. The day of the rapture will be the first day of the 7-year period known as the tribulation. And we'll be getting into that study later. I don't know whether you're taking notes, but it would be well if you did. We're presently, number 3, in the dispensation of the church. And we do not know when this age will end. Number 4, the day of the rapture will be the first day of the 7-year period known as the tribulation. Over these last 40-some-odd years, we have dealt with the subject of the tribulation. We've looked at it intently, carefully. The day of the rapture will be the first day of the 7-year period known as the tribulation. Number 5, the second advent will occur on the last day of the tribulation. The second advent will occur on the last day of the tribulation and will usher in the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much there. In my study of the book of Daniel, I came to the 12th chapter and I found numbers there. Many of you perhaps have looked at it yourself. And you wonder why in that 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, it deals with the millennium and it deals with the first part of the millennium and it talks about 75 days. And people wonder, what in the world? Well, we'll be dealing with that as we move along. The rapture completes the redemption of the body because the believer receives the resurrection body at that time. Let's go back to number 5. The second advent will occur on the last day of the tribulation and will usher in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Number 6. The rapture completes the redemption of the body because the believer receives a resurrection body at that time. Philippians 3, 20, 21, 1 John 3, 1 and 2. If you're taking notes, number 7. The biblical content in relationship to this period of time was hidden from Old Testament saints. That's the reason why this time was called a mysterion, is the Greek word, and it's the word for mystery. In the next session, in a few minutes, we'll be dealing with that subject, mystery. Believers living before the beginning of the church age did not have this information. That's the reason why we notice the silence of the prophets of the Old Testament. I have a chart, I have a picture and a diagram that shows the Old Testament prophets looking across time. They were able to see certain things and they were not able to see certain things. What is so interesting is that throughout the Old Testament, there are many verses of Scripture where when you're getting into those verses, had the church age information been placed there, you would be able now to be able to come to a point where you could insert that. And we'll look at that some. The rapture, number 8, will not be a long, drawn-out process. We will be with the Lord instantaneously. And the scripture says we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know how much you've thought about this, but you need to think about it. You need to be aware of the fact that God knows exactly what He's doing. Not only does He know what He's doing, but He knows when to do what He's going to do. And He's fully, fully capable of getting the job done very well. Number 8 again, the rapture will not be long drawn out, a process of evacuation. The scripture says we will be with the Lord instantly and will be changed. The resurrection body does not include decay. The resurrection body does not include corruption of sin and death. Many, many things could be said here. I could spend a lot of time on each one of these points. All I'm trying to do is to give you a quick overview. Number 9. The rapture takes the sting out of death. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian believers, had a lot to say about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54, 55, 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? All you have to do is go over to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians and you'll discover that the Apostle Paul was by the Spirit of God informed so he could give to us the information that we have a magnificent future. Backing up just a moment. A few moments ago, I said, I don't want you to be afraid of the word dispensation. I put on the screen a timeline just for us to glance at it for a few moments. And what I did when I put that up there is to let you see that there's an emphasis there upon periods of time. What's a dispensation? Let's define it. Number 1, a dispensation is a period of human history in terms of divine revelation. It would be good if you would put for yourself these definitions. What is a dispensation? A period of human history in terms of divine revelation. That's one way of looking at it. If I say we're living in the church age, the age of grace, and I say we're living between the period of Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture on the other hand, what am I saying? I'm saying that we're looking at a period of time, a beautiful, magnificent period of time. God is allowing you and me to live in a wonderful period of time of history. This is the age of grace. This is the church age. This is the time of the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the completed canon of Scripture. We've been given the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, that is a command. It's an imperative verb. And throughout the New Testament, you will find many verbs that are in the imperative mood. Anytime you find a verb in the imperative mood, in the original language, you can put it down that if God makes that command, He also makes it possible for that command to be fulfilled. Amen. Think about it. So if He's asked us to know about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and He's asked us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, It's not something foolish. It's not something strange. It's not something odd. It is that which is normal for the New Testament believer. And Ephesians 5:18 is a verb that's in the imperative mood. It's a command. So he gave us a command. And the only way that we can have victory and triumph and joy in this life is to fulfill what he's commanded us in Ephesians 5:18. And that is to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not something to make you odd or strange. It's that which makes you normal and makes me normal. It's strange how people talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I smile when I say that because I'm aware of the fact that a lot of people have some unusual and strange ideas about the subject of the filling of the Holy Spirit. God gives a command. And when God gives imperative verbs in the New Testament Greek, that command is that which is to be obeyed and that which can be fulfilled. Because God made the command, God made the means by which that command can be fulfilled. We're living in a period of history in terms of divine revelation. Divine category is number two of human history, or the divine outline of history. Look at number three, God's interpretation of history, as well as a divine plan for man related to time. Understanding God's timing. Understanding God's purpose. It is not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that you're in this auditorium right now. God has a plan for your life and mine. It is not an accident that you're alive right now. God has a plan for your life right now. Therefore, number four, a believer must be oriented to time to understand God's plan. I don't need to tell you this because all of you know this who know me. I've been around on this earth for a good while. And I'm aware of the fact that I'm not going to be on this earth as long as I've been here. I mean, 80 some odd years. Can you imagine what I would look like 80 some odd years from now? I don't know how old you are, but you've been here for a while. We've all been here for a while. But I'm promising you, we're not going to be here all that long at the longest. But I can put this down for sure about you and me. God has a purpose and a plan for us being here. It's wonderful. A believer must be oriented then to this dispensation, to time, to understand God's plan. And when we understand God's plan, we will understand God's purpose. Number five, in every age or dispensation, the plan of God operates through specific agency. It was Israel, and now it's the church. In the millennium, it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ. I close by telling you number six. Salvation is always the same in every dispensation. What is it? Personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in that particular dispensation. It's amazing to me when I think in terms of what Jesus Christ has done for me and what he's done for you. For me to realize that Jesus Christ, deity too, left heaven's glory as the God-man, virgin born, virgin conceived, God in the flesh, This is Jesus Christ, deity too, coming to the earth as a little baby. God in the flesh, God incarnate, coming to the earth for the specific reason to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And he did that for you and for me. That's the reason why we understand that not only did he die, but he was buried and he came forth out of the grave, victorious over sin and grave and hell, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We don't deserve that, do we? We're not worthy of that, are we? Of course not. As I ride with the funeral director out to the cemetery, realizing again that I'm going to be out there with people whom I've loved through the years, and we're saying goodbye now to a body, but we know, oh, we know, that this person is not in that body. When a person leaves this life as a believer in Jesus Christ into the presence of Jesus Christ, for the Bible says, upon the point of death, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. How fantastic that is. I've said this over the years and I repeat now. I appreciate so much the way you listen. May we bow for prayer, please. These last moments of this service are designed for those who hear this message, not only in this auditorium, but by way of the internet. I do not know, but there may be someone listening to this voice today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. You could do it now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. What does this tell us? This tells us that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I would encourage you to do it now. If I could be you, I would make that decision for you. But I cannot be you. You have to make that decision yourself. It's so wonderful to know that God does not lie. He tells the truth. And that's the reason why the Bible says if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. So if you don't have the Son at this moment, I would encourage you to accept him. Again, the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank you for your grace and for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you back here in about 10 or 15 minutes.